phone app. How many of you have an Android phone? Raise your hand. Very good. The Android version is coming out soon. It's coming. So you will get you that. And it's amazing. So let's see your Bibles today. Let's see your Bible. Say word. One more time, say word. One more time, North County Wall, say word. Very good. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Turn to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. And let me pray for you as you turn there. Lord, I pray you bless us today. We thank you for your word that is eternal and living and active, sharpened in a two-edged sword. And we pray you would discern the thoughts and intents of our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, New Testament, John chapter 18. John chapter 8. Say amen if you have found it. Say amen, North County, want to hear you as well. Say amen if you have found it. Say amen if you're still looking. John, New Testament, book number 4, chapter number 18. We'll be in verse 37 in a few minutes. Just before the last presidential election, I had the privilege of saying a few words in a prayer at the Republican National Convention. And it was a high security event. The whole arena was surrounded by a 10-foot high metal fence. We got taken to the arena in these cars that, these SUVs, and we had to go through a gauntlet of guys holding M16s that were guarding the streets. There were protesters everywhere. Some of the protesters attacked the car I was in right before I got in it. People were going crazy outside the arena, and they were going crazy inside the arena. We went through bomb-sniffing dogs. They were looking under the car with mirrors, see if there was a bomb. They had the big barricades for terrorist barricades. Then we went through a metal detector to get in. It was off the chart, high security. Then you get in, the people are just screaming, ah! You know, going crazy. I got emails from people saying, hey, it was glad to see you in a Republican National Convention. They got emails from saying, what the heck are you doing with those people? They're tearing the country down. They're all for rich people. Then I was on a Glenn Beck show talking about our book. Hey, saw you in the Glenn Beck show. It's great. What are you doing with that racist? You're a traitor. You're a sellout. It's like, man, I just went on a TV show talking about my book. Went to see the President Obama right before the Wednesday before Easter. Hey, saw you, Obama. He's the greatest president we ever had. Hey, that dude's the worst president we ever had. What are you doing with him? Another person said, you know, he's the Antichrist and all this stuff. And people get racial. And I mean, I've been in discussions where people just get beat red talking about how much they hate him. And then other people talking about how much they love him. Romney, he's going to be a great president. Oh, he's the only rich guy. He's out of touch. And it's just people are so passionate about politics. And I wish they were that passionate about God. And we started this series called Exposed 3 weeks ago. This is our third week. We've been talking about not exposing the failures of people in the limelight, celebrities, athletes, politicians, etc., rich or whatever. It's not about exposing their faults. It's about exposing what's in the heart of people who criticize them. And if you hear people especially talk about politics as we have the elections coming up, the people who are Republican are so fired up about the Republican policies, and the people who are Democrat are so fired up at the Democrats, and they hate each other. I don't say hate, but it's like the Democrats are this and the Republicans are this, and it's like they get so passionate, you can't say anything. I mean, that's why I don't say anything about politics as far as where I stand. I worship Jesus. So it's like, well, what do you believe? Who are you going to vote for? None of your business. And the reason is because no matter what I say, you can have all these people going, ah, what's wrong with you? It's like, it's not that important. It's not that important. So what we're going to talk about today is that, what does it say about your heart when that becomes so important to you that you sin? Nothing wrong with having passion. Matter of fact, God wants us to be passionate people. The Bible, Jesus said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but don't be lukewarm. Don't be fired up about something. You meet people go, what are you going to do? Oh, no. I'll just take what life gives me. No. Go after something. And some people are so scared to go after something because they think they're going to fail. Failure is not going after something. But God said, I want you to be passionate. So there's nothing wrong with being passionate. There's nothing wrong with being involved. You should be involved in politics. You should be involved in government. The problem is that when your involvement and your passion cause you to say things that you shouldn't say, have feelings towards people that are not godly, to be arguing or mad at somebody where you sin. The Bible says be angry and don't sin. What does that mean? You can be angry, just don't sin. Psalm 4:4 says be angry, don't sin. And so we're going to look at what does it mean when your passion for politics, government, your boss, your coach, people who are above you in authority, and you get so angry at them and so angst at them that your witness with Christ, your relationship with Christ is compromised. That's where you have a problem. I'll say it one more time. Please be passionate. I'm going to tell you what, it ain't going to be the Republicans and it ain't going to be the Democrats that save the world. Neither one of them are going to save the world. It's just not going to happen. It's going to be Jesus. So you want to put everything in perspective. Everything in perspective. So in this story we're going to read, it's just a conversation between Pontius Pilate and Jesus. Jesus is getting ready to get crucified. Pontius Pilate is a government official. He's also a political figure. He's subject to the voices of the crowds. And he said, who do you want me to crucify? People saying, Jesus, let Barabbas go. He's got to deal with the politics of the Jews and the Roman officials, and he's in the middle. He's going to have this conversation with Jesus, and we're going to learn about our hearts, where our hearts should be when it comes to politics, when it comes to government, when it comes to people who are in authority over you, your boss, your coaches, who will never always do what you want. That's just the way it is. And by the way, you will have things happen to you that you think are straight up unfair. And that's probably, maybe so. No, let me say, it is definitely, you'll think it's unfair. No doubt. Hopefully this will help you with your angst, lessen your stress. Let's read chapter 18, verse 33. It says, Pilate entered the Praetorium. Praetorium was the headquarters of the military. And he called Jesus and said to him, are you king of the Jews? This is after the religious leaders brought Jesus to Pilate because they wanted Pilate to crucify him because only Pilate had the authority to crucify him. So Pilate's going to go and go, who is this guy and what's he about? You know, what's this all about? And then it says, Jesus said in verse 34, are you speaking for yourself about this or did others tell you concerning me? Pilate said, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests deliver you to me. What have you done? I don't get this. I'm not involved in your life, Jesus. And here's what Jesus said. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight and they would smoke you. That's what that little comma means right there, that little comma. And so that I should not be delivered to you, but now my kingdom is not from here. It will be one day, but it's not from here. Number one in your notes. When you get angry and angst and stressed over things of this world to the point where it causes you to sin, it exposes in your heart that you deny the reality of a superior kingdom. In other words, you are showing that you think this is all there is. This ain't all there is. As a matter of fact, this one day won't be. I don't know if you've ever seen a rainbow in the sky. Let me tell you what a rainbow means. A rainbow is a symbol that God put in the sky to remind us that he would never flood the earth again. That's what the rainbow means. It's not a symbol of anything else. God put it in the sky and said, I will never flood the earth. Now, that's the good news. The bad news is that he's going to melt it with fire. I'd rather drown than get burnt. All this stuff you see is going down and up in smoke. And when you get so focused on the things of the world, you are showing in your heart, again, be passionate, just don't sin because it's not the end of the world. When you get so passionate about the things of this world, you are showing that you forgot. You forgot. that there's a superior kingdom, a more powerful kingdom, an eternal kingdom, a more important kingdom than this kingdom. There's a new movie out called Battleship. I have not seen it yet. Has anybody seen it? Is it good? Okay. Did they say yes or no? So-so, yes, so-so. Well, I haven't seen it, but I'm going to guess what it's about. I'm going to tell you what it's about. I'm just going to guess, just from the clips, you know, the previews I've seen, that our army, of course, it's always about America because we are the eye of the center of the universe, and we're out in the ocean, and then this thing comes out of the water from another world, and they have technology we don't have. They have weapons we don't have. And they are off the chart. Good. Can I get amen? Okay, so and it's like, how are we going to beat this? And somehow in the movie, some courageous American figures something out to take the little BB bullets that we have to conquer this ginormous thing from another planet. Is that what happens? Yes, it always happens. Exactly. They say yes? Is that what you said? Yeah. Independence Day, Will Smith movie. Remember that? This ginormous spaceship the size of Manhattan. I'm sorry, it was the East Coast. It was over Manhattan and the White House at the same time. And it's just no sound, just floating. And we're like, how are we gonna defeat it? But somehow, we're going to defeat that big old thing from another world somehow. Tom Cruise, I'm trying to think of the other actor. Tom Cruise, War of the Worlds, you have this jellyfish stuff walking around these skinny legs, throwing lightning down. And somehow Tom Cruise, that brother can run. He's always running, like in every movie, he's running, right? He can run away from these things that can fly, and he always gets away. And somehow they figure out how to kill these giant things from another planet. There is another world out there that's real. That is a lot more powerful than anything we have. It's eternal. It's more loving. And by the way, it cannot be conquered by this world. It's going to conquer this world. We forget that. You actually think this is all there is. And that this life is all you have. That's not true. Be passionate. But just hold things lightly because there's more to come. The movie is not even started. Excuse me. Number two in your notes. By the way, this kingdom, God's kingdom, has a plan. The superior kingdom in heaven, God is unfolding a plan, and you are part of that plan. When Jesus died, Jesus was falsely accused. Falsely convicted. Excuse me. Excuse me one second. You know, you drink water because something's in your throat. I don't know if it ever works. Jesus was falsely accused by an inferior kingdom. He was falsely convicted. He was falsely executed. And it was all part of God's plan. You're on this earth. Stuff has happened to you. Trust God. Doesn't mean you don't do anything. Here's what you do. You obey God. But don't think that man and people can determine the quality of your life. God does. God does. Well, they're going to take more of my taxes. Well, they're taking more than they did last year anyway. Price of gas is going to go up. It's been going up forever. I remember it was 25 cents. How many of y'all remember 25 cents? How many of y'all thinking, 25 cents? How many of y'all remember gas lines? I think when it was 75 cents. No, it was 1975. Yeah, it was 1975. We had us wait, go to the gas station, and it was still dark outside, and wait in line in your car for hours for the gas station to open up. Gas got so expensive, they were running out. Gas stations ran out of gas. It's $4. What are we going to do? By the way, $4 is jacked up. I'm not saying it's not horrible. But you're still planning your vacation? You figure it out. And you trust God. God's unfolding a plan. Now, is he behind the $4 gas? I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that how you deal with $4 gas is going to be between you and God. How you find peace in that is going to be between you and God. Number two in your notes. When you get overly angst, you suffer from citizenship confusion. In other words, you forget to whom you belong and where your citizenship is. I love the U.S. of A. Now, I know there's a whole lot of stuff going on in our country that's messed up, blah, 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 but this is still the best country on the planet. When I go, amen, amen. And, of course, that's our opinion. You know, there are other places people like better, and that's fine. I go travel outside the country, which I do not do a whole lot. And I go through customs. I never feel comfortable, as comfortable anywhere else than I do here. And when I get to customs, and I love coming over the border at customs. And if the customs agent, I'm like, yo, man, where you from? How you doing? I like want to talk to them. Because it's like Americans. And they're from New York. Forget it. We're there all day talking. I'm like, brother, you got to move on. I got other people. Security. We got a person on line three. Get them out of there. I like better heaven. We live here, but we're citizens of heaven. And look what Jesus said. Look what he says. Verse 37. Pilate said, are you a king then? He says, you say rightly that I'm a king, and for this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come to this world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Jesus says, yes, I'm a king. I came from somewhere else to hear for a specific reason. But I'm not from here. I come bearing the truth from somewhere else. You and I, and if you Christ is your Savior, you are a citizen of heaven. That's your citizenship. That's your home. The rules of heaven are the rules of your life. And there are people who get up in the morning every single day, first thing they do is read a newspaper. I'm not saying anything wrong with that. But they don't read this. Why is the newspaper determining your happiness, your life, your direction in life, and even your perception of what's going on? Well, I want to know what's going on. Do you think the newspaper's really telling you the truth of what's going on? Do you think that's the whole story? You can't be that deceived. This is the truth. Now, is there stuff in the newspaper that's true? Yes. They're going to report what they know, or when I say newspaper, all newspapers, or what they heard. How many times have you read a newspaper? Here's what happened. And then a few days later, oh, I'm bad. This is what really happened. Oh, a few days. Oh, this, now we got more information. Why? They're human. They can only put on what they get. The point is, this is what you should read first. This is what you should base your happiness on. This is what you should base your peace on. Oh, what's the stock market doing? Oh, I'm happy or sad because that's all. The stock market does this. That's what it does. This never changes. Never changes. Philippians 3:20, it's in your notes right there. It should be in your notes. We are a citizen of heaven, for which we wait the coming of our Savior from heaven. And when you see people on earth arguing about who's going to be president, please get in the argument. Please get in the discussion, but understand that one candidate will take the country in a different way than another. That is fine, but understand this is not your world. You're going to be subject to whichever one gets in office anyway, and you're never going to like all what they do anyway. But in the end, the rules by which you live are God's rules. And whatever happens here, good, bad, or indifferent, God is going to use in your life to make you more like him. And so that should be our focus. Lord, I don't like what's going on here. Now these rules are changing. Oh, it's going to affect the church. By the way, there's going to be laws that are going to affect the church. Lord, how do you want us to deal with that? Thank you that you put us in this day and age to be a witness and a light in that environment. It may not be pleasant all the time. It may not be what you want. But guess what? It's all temporary, because in 4 years, you're going to do it all over again. Number three. You overestimate the goodness of man. When you get caught up in people, you overestimate the goodness of man. You actually believe that people determine the quality of your life. Now, your boss can definitely impact your income temporarily. I was cut from three times. I was cut from the Los Angeles Rams in 1982. I was sad because, you know, it was my first time. I was a rookie, and I was sad that I got let go. I got signed with the Chargers, and I was cut a couple of years later, 3 years later. I was mad because I believed it was because of my faith. And then I was cut another time, got back on the team, got cut another time, my third and last time, and I was glad. I was sad, a man, and glad. The reason I was glad the last time is because by that time, God said, now I'm going to show you what your purpose in life is. And I'm also show you how temporary not only this job is, but how temporary life here is. And it's your time. It's now time to move on to something else. And so when the coach called me, I picked up the phone. He said, Miles, I have some bad news for you. It wasn't the head coach. It was my position coach. And I was like, what possibly he could be telling me that's bad? If my mother died, he wouldn't be calling me. So what is he going to tell me? I really was clueless. And he said, we're going to let you go. I said, oh, yeah, huh? Okay, I'll come down, give him a play. Went down there. We talked to him. Then I saw Coach Coriel, who was a head coach at the time. And I actually got a chance to pray for him. I was the one losing my job. God said, very clearly, this is not who you are, it's what you do. This life here is not who you are. This is temporary. And you can't look to people. I could look to the coach and say, Coach, this is unfair. Why are you doing this to me? Blah, blah, blah. No. God has something for me. He just was the mouthpiece to tell me. The people in your life do not control your life. God controls your life. If God wants you to, let me say it this way. If God This is going to be so simple, but so profound. If God wants you to have a job and you obey God, you will have the job. There's no way you can't not have the job. If God wants you to marry that girl over there and you obey God, you're going to marry that girl. Now, don't go up to some girl and say, hey, yo, man, God told me... I've had it happen to me. I've heard of guys doing that to women. Okay, everything's got a line. But the point about it is that if God doesn't want somebody to do something, or if God doesn't allow it, it ain't gonna happen. And so you say, okay, God, I've had these things happen in my life. How do you want to use it? To be disappointed in someone is to have believed in that someone. To be disappointed in someone is to have believed in someone. In other words, are you saying don't believe in people? I'm saying don't believe in people as though they're perfect. Give people room to make mistakes because they're human. Everybody, give them room. Give me room to be human. Because if you put a requirement on someone to be perfect or way better than you, so much so you can't ever see them do anything wrong, you're going to be let down. People do what people do. Don't be shocked when sinners sin. Don't be shocked. If you ever thought to yourself, man, I can't believe I said that, you overestimated your goodness. Think about this. If you think you're really a good person, imagine if everything you thought in your heart and mind came out as words when you thought it. Yeah. Oh, snap. News flash, when you say, I can't believe I said that, I can't believe I did that, what you're really saying is that I can't believe what I was thinking came out. I can't believe I let people see what was really in my heart. But God sees all of it. What's the point? Give people a break. People mess up. Now, does it mean that it's okay? No. Does it mean that you just disregard it? No. Pray for them. Go encourage them. You know, we try not to have babies in the sanctuary, and people say, oh, you, and we've gotten all the emails. I got all of you hate kids, and The Rock doesn't love kids, and you're, you know, Miles, what's wrong? Yeah, it's like, please. We love kids. Matter of fact, I like being with kids better than adults. Can I get an amen? Kids are so much fun. You go with the kids and just have fun, and, you know, but anyway, so I love kids. But the problem is, babies cry. They're not bad. That's what they do. They talk when they're not supposed to talk. They make some. Matter of fact, that's what makes them fun. But when babies cry, when you're talking in an event, it's distracting. It's no simpler than that. But the reason I'm telling you this, and by the way, if you have a baby over here and that baby cries, and there's a baby over here, when that baby hears that baby crying, that baby's going to cry. That's how, and by the way, it's empathy. That's what babies do. They're not bad. They're just babies. People are people. Why do you get shocked when a politician, especially a politician that's got pressure we can't fathom, and or is not walking with God, trying to get votes, why do you get shocked when they lie? Why is that a surprise? Why is it a surprise when they got people all around them hiding stuff from them, hiding stuff that they do all the time anyway, and the one time they get caught, why is that a surprise to you? Now, again, it doesn't mean you approve it, but it means that I get that. I'm going to pray for that person, and I'm going to know, and I'm going to acknowledge that I'm not putting all my faith. Matter of fact, I want to read something to you. Write down John chapter 2. Matter of fact, turn to it. You're right there in your Bible. Turn to John chapter 2. Very interesting thing Jesus said. It shouldn't be that far. Don't go all the way back to Genesis and try to find John chapter 2. John chapter 2, verse 23. It says, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs what he did. Jesus was doing miracles. People said, oh, you are so great, you are so great. And Luke said, Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. I know you guys are just flimsy. You believe in me today and kick me in the back tomorrow. And then it says, and he had no need that anyone should testify of man because he knew what was in man. He says, listen, I'm not doing this for your praise. Because I know tomorrow you're going to be saying, crucify him. I'm going to do my business. I'm going to obey God and go about my business, and God's going to take care of the rest. What am I saying to you? Hold it lightly. All of this is temporary. Put your passion in your relationship with Christ. These two frogs in the Amazon jungle fighting over one square yard of land in the jungle. The jungle, like thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of miles of jungle. These two little frogs are fighting over one square yard. It's like, brother, just go right there. And the loser has to go right there. It's like, brother, there's a whole lot of land out here. We get so caught up in all this stuff. And you know what? In the end, if you trust God, you'll figure life out. And you'll be just fine. Might you not be able to get the big house you want? Maybe so. Might you not get the 5 cars you want? Maybe so. But you know what? You can't but drive one at a time anyway. We're going to end in worship. I'm going to have the band come out here, the worship team come out here. But I want us to worship God and thank God for being God and that nobody else is God. One of the things that I, when I went to the White House before Easter, people asked me, you know, how was it? What was it like? And there was a lot of great things about it. I completely am in awe of the responsibility of a president. Can't fathom. Doesn't matter who it is. Our event was like 10 in the morning, 11. It was late morning, and I was envisioning what did they do before that breakfast. Their morning briefing about national security and all the information about the polls and the economy and all the burden they have to carry, no matter who it is. But one of the things that was just so plain as day is that the president is a man. He's a man, just like he's a human, just like you and I. That's it. Wasn't God. People are people. Your boss is a person. Your boss will come to work and be grumpy at you. And sometimes they just found out they have cancer. You don't know it. Their mom is going to die. They're losing their house. They're supporting people in their family. And they're struggling financially because they're supporting people in their family. Stuff you don't know. They have someone suicidal in their family. And you don't know that. They're human. And by the way, none of that is your business. You don't have a right to know. All you are responsible for is, Lord, I just need to love them. That's all you're supposed to do. And if that is your attitude, you have not only will you have so much less stress in your life, because it's not about lessening your stress, it's about being a light. And then when someone comes and at you, you can say, hey, man, how can I pray for you? Then you don't take it personally, because you know what? You're not just that important. Someone asked me a few weeks ago, was I preaching my sermon to them? You're not that important. No, for real. Let me explain this. There are some pastors who will come and have a personal issue to a person. They'll preach a sermon so they get it. No. I'm going to say what God wants. I'm not going to think about individual people. So that's what I mean by you're not important. I'm not going to sit here and study just to get a message to you. I'll just tell you. But don't think everything that happens to you is because of you. There's so much more going on in life. And so what you need to figure out is, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to respond to what's going on? Because it's not, there's so much more to it than just you. And so, again, I'll end with this. People in leadership above you, whether you're from the president to your boss to your parents, your coach, pray for them. Be a servant. Don't be so focused on trying to know everything and figure everything out and try to get what you want. Just get what God wants. And you'll find yourself having so much less stress, and you'll find yourself being such a more powerful tool for the Holy Spirit to minister to people. And that is what you're supposed to do. The only person you can control, the only person you're responsible for is you and how the Holy Spirit flows through you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Lord, we pray for our leaders. They have responsibility we don't understand. They deal with things we know not of. So we pray for them, and we pray that we can love them and encourage them. We pray that they would see you in and through us. Thank you for being a good God to us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a song, and then I'm going to encourage you to go and donate some food to the food bank. God bless you. Let's sing a song, brother.
Let's stand together. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned. Yeah.